In the middle of the night, a screen was cut, an intruder crept in, and took a young girl named Elizabeth Smart. Remember that? Took her out of her bed and captured her and forced her into a marriage by a man who claimed God told him to do that. We read here in Isaiah how the people started inquiring of mediums and necromancers. Those are people who talk to the dead. Seems like we hear that today too, don't we? God told him to take a girl. Was it God? And now this man, as you probably saw in the news this week, his pictures were in the news. He's shouting at the judge to repent and turn to the Lord. He won't talk to anyone. He calls himself Emmanuel, God with us. And seeing pictures this week brought all of that back for me. Elizabeth Smart is now 23 years old. So some time has gone by. But it reminded me, we live in a land of deep darkness where things like this happen. Thinking about Israel in the north and Judah in the south fighting against each other, we see that today. North Korea in the north, South Korea in the south, fighting against each other, bombing islands, sinking boats. People are dying. We live in a land of deep darkness. And then we also saw someone this week who died of cancer, Elizabeth Edwards. She lost the battle with cancer. But that's not all. Her son died when he was 16 years old. Her husband left her for another woman and had a child as well. We live in a land of deep darkness. And to add insult to injury, it was reported that some from Westboro Baptist Church were going to protest at her funeral because she lost her faith in God when her son died. She started doubting God, and they're telling her that she's going to hell. That is part of the darkness right there. We live in a land of deep darkness. People have the gospel all wrong. People don't have the gospel. Well, what is this darkness? I mean, we could talk about all these examples and never really focus in on what is darkness. Well, we know darkness is when there's no light. Let me put it simply. Darkness is the absence of God. That is a very simple definition, because when there's the absence of God, there's the presence of sin. This is darkness. We even see the shadow of death. The shadow of death. We know the wages of sin is death, and so the absence of God, God cannot be around sin. This is darkness, because the Bible tells us that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. But yet, when there is darkness, when there's an absence of God, guess what? There is great distress. Look at verse 21 of chapter 8, right before chapter 9. They're talking about the people passing through the land, greatly distressed and hungry. When they are hungry, they will be enraged and will speak contemptuously against their king and their God. So it's people raging at God. Verse 22, and they will look to the earth, but behold, distress and darkness, the gloom of anguish. And they will be thrust into thick darkness. Right before this, verse 20, it says, they will not speak according to this word. If they will not speak according to this word, the Bible, the prophecy, it is because they have no dawn. What happens in the dawn? Starts getting light. But if it's dark, they will not be speaking according to these prophecies here, according to the word. One person says it like this: There is no hope outside of what the Lord has spoken. Did you hear that? There is no hope outside of what the Lord has spoken, right here. Every utterance, however spirit authorized, which fails to accord with his word, is darkness without light. This should get our minds thinking, because we can say lots of things. And let's be honest with each other, we say things that are dark at times. We say things that fail to accord with God's word. And so even our very speech to our family, to our spouse, to our neighbors, can be darkness. Well, Israel, it was a dark time for them. They're being conquered, remember, after Ahaz refuses to trust the Lord. After he died, all the kings after him were basically puppets in the hands of these other nations. They didn't have much strength. They're about to fall. The Bible here tells us they were people of dull hearts, heavy ears, blind eyes, and unclean lips. Well, that just about covers everything except smell, doesn't it? And touch. And verse 17 of chapter 9 says, everyone is godless and an evildoer. Everyone is godless and an evildoer. And when I was thinking about this, I thought, what about us? I mean, Israel, that's a long time ago, right? The nation, thousands of years ago. What about us today? Here in Vermont, in St. Albans, in Franklin County. So let's look at where we live for a minute. A couple of years ago, Vermont was rated in a poll as the least religious state in the whole country. I don't know if you knew that. Vermont was number one, the most godless state in the country. I think New Hampshire was second, and I think Maine was third. So there's Northern New England Presbytery for you. What about our county? Franklin County, I have heard, has the highest rate of domestic violence, the highest rate of teenage pregnancy, the highest rate of child abuse, the highest rate of all kinds of different things. It has been the county that has produced the most cults out of any other county in the state of Vermont. I've heard there are groups of witches around that actually pray against the churches, that the pastors will have nervous breakdowns and leave, that the churches will shut down, and that actually happened right over here at the Nazarene Church. The pastor left because he had a nervous breakdown. And I wonder, is that a fruit of their prayers? That was a few years ago, by the way. What about our city, St. Albans? It's a city for some of you. It is for me. I heard on the news that our city, St. Albans, is the new crime capital of Vermont, believe it or not. And there is even a place, in thinking about, well, what about inquiring of mediums and the dead? There's a place on Main Street you can go and inquire of the mediums. You can have your fortune told and your palm read and look into the different types of things like that. Communicate with the spirits. This is the place that we live in. We are living in a land of deep darkness. This is the time that we are in. It's challenging to live in a place like this, isn't it? We encounter things like theft, shoplifting. Our cars have been broken into 3 times in our driveway, at our house. Your houses have been broken into, I know. And it's even more than that. It's how we relate to each other as neighbors, or how we don't relate. There's distress, there's darkness. The Bible tells us people love darkness rather than light. We want to go into the darkness. We want to hide. We want to be involved with these deeds. And yes, this is a dark place that we live in. And we start thinking, that is there any hope for this area? Is there any hope for St. Albans? I've heard that the police are having trouble hiring people to even be police here in the city because it's the crime capital. Is there any hope? And we read in the Bible that, remember, you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in this world. We live in a world where there are many without God. And there's a choice point here. We can either choose to go into despair, can't we? We could choose to flee. We got to get out of here. We could choose to despair, become negative, become gloomy, the gloom of anguish, distress, and darkness. Or, what's the other option? Faith. Remembering that God is a God of steadfast love, that He is a God who keeps His promises, that He is a God with covenant love. And we could say, in our context today, we need a miracle. We need a miracle if this place is to be overflowing with those who love and trust and obey in the Lord Jesus Christ. And here is my favorite word in the Bible. You know it. Look at how verse chapter 9 starts. It's a three-letter word called but. In other words, we're going in this direction. There's anguish, there's darkness, there's gloom, and we're just kind of headed downhill. People shouting at God, turning their faces away, and then we have the word, but. There will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. Take heart here. There will be no gloom. Remember that verse I just read from Ephesians? You were strangers to the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in this world. You know what the very next word is? But now you have been brought near through the blood of Jesus Christ. I remember one of my mentors calling this the big but of God. And as strange as that sounds, it's true. This is the but that God sends into the world to give us hope in the midst of despair. Look at the verse 1, how it talks about Zebulun and Naphtali. What does that mean? Well, Zebulun and Naphtali were part of the promised land. They were two areas there. They were in the north, and they were the first places to fall to Assyria. They were the first places to be captured. And guess what? Matthew chapter 4 tells us, after Jesus heard that John the Baptist was arrested, and John was beheaded for proclaiming the news of Jesus Christ, there's gloom, there's anguish. Do you know where Jesus went? He went to Galilee. He lived in Capernaum, which was the region of Zebulun and Naphtali. So that this prophecy, where it says, He has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations, this is where Jesus started His public ministry. He came out of this place that was first captured. And so we see that in the midst of our darkness, God has given us hope in His Son, Jesus Christ. Who is this child? Well, we see in verse 2, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Something should stop you right there. Wait a second, this was written many years ago. This was written way before Jesus. How could they say they have seen a great light? Jesus wasn't born yet. How could they say that? This is a sense where, as another says, in the Hebrew, the way they communicate is they are so sure of this hope that they write it in the past tense as though it has happened. They're so sure of it. Which means that people of faith can already see the light shining in the darkness. He has shined. This is all over the Bible. Verse 2, they've seen a great light. We just read in Luke, right, with Zechariah, John the Baptist's father. What does he say? Where the sunrise shall visit us from on high to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. If you this morning are in despair, you feel like there is no hope, God has sent Jesus Christ to give light while you are sitting in the shadow of death, while you are sitting in gloom. Why? Why did he do that? Do you know what Zechariah says? Verse 78, because of the tender mercy of our God. That's why. The tender mercy of our God. The love for his people. The sunrise shall visit us from on high. Do you know what Revelation 22 says? Jesus is speaking here. He says, I am the root of David, the bright morning star. The bright morning star. 2 Peter says, the morning star will rise in our hearts. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. How can Jesus say that? You know why he is the light? Because he is God, and God is light. And in God, there is no darkness at all. There is no sin at all. Jesus was the perfect sinless man. He never did anything wrong. That's hard for us to imagine, because we're so far from that. We make mistakes. We sin. We do things on purpose sometimes. But Jesus, the sinless one, he says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Will have the light of life. Ephesians 5, for at one time you were darkness. Listen to this. But now you not just have the light, you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. There's a book that we've read with our family. It's by R.C. Sproul. It's called The Lightlings. It's a great book telling about the story of creation and also through how Jesus comes. And there's a little boy in there. His name is Charlie. And as his mom's putting him to bed, he said, Mom, can you keep the nightlight on? Can you turn the nightlight on? See, Charlie's afraid of the dark. And he said, Mom, why am I afraid of the dark? She said, let's ask your grandfather when he comes over tomorrow. So next day comes, he asks his grandfather, Grandpa, why am I afraid of the dark? Grandpa says, do you know that some people are afraid of the light? Charlie's afraid of the light. Why would they be afraid of the light? And Grandpa starts telling a story about these people who are the lightlings, who lived in the light. And one day they disobeyed the king of the light and they fled into the darkness. And they lived in the darkness that was blinding. They were stumbling into things. They were getting hurt. And one day they saw through the trees, way off in the distance, this blinding light shining. And some of them were afraid. The king of light has come to punish us. But others were drawn. And they went to see and they saw this baby, this mother and father and this little baby. And the baby, there was light coming out of the baby. And as they looked at the baby, they became light. It's almost like the glow in the dark stuff. If you hold it up to a light, the longer you hold it up, then it glows, right? Same thing with God's people. You are light in the Lord. And Grandpa finishes the story. They brought the light back to the others. Some went further into the darkness and others believed. And Grandpa ends the story by saying, Charlie, the reason you're afraid of the dark is because you were made to live in the light. You were made to live in the light. Therefore, as the Bible tells us, walk as children of light. Well, he has not only shined, he is given. Look at verse 6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. It's a sacrificial act. And look at, it's to us. To us, God's people, a particular gift to his covenant people. Isaiah 42 says, I give you as a covenant for the people, a light for the nations, a gift of light. And you know this verse, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that whoever believes in him shall not die, but have eternal life. He is given. He is also named. Look at the end of verse 6. His name shall be called. Wonderful counselor. Let's just stop right there. In other words, his counsel is perfect. He has great wisdom, the wisdom of God, which is so much greater. Who was the wisest person in the Bible who was a human? Solomon. Solomon asked, God said, if you could have anything, what would you ask of me? And he said, oh Lord, I need great wisdom to govern this, your great people. And because he asked for wisdom, God gave him other things as well, riches and power. But Jesus Christ's wisdom is far greater than Solomon's. He is the wonderful counselor. We think about if we're having trouble, and I've gone to counseling before in my own life, we think about going to counseling. There's no better counselor than we can go to than the wonderful counselor, isn't there? He's also called the mighty God. He's the Lord of power, this might that no one can overcome him. He's the everlasting Father. Isn't this interesting that the Son, Jesus Christ, who is talked about in Isaiah 9, would be called Father? Isn't that interesting? He's everlasting. There's no end. The Bible says, may his name endure forever. What does a father do? A father protects. So another says, a father cares. A father disciplines. Right? Those he loves. Jesus himself says, I will not leave you as orphans. He's the everlasting Father. And then finally, he's the Prince of Peace, Ephesians 2, for he himself is our peace. Before we move on here, I don't want you to miss this. We have a picture of the Trinity right here in Isaiah. Do you know who is called the Counselor? Jesus calls the Holy Spirit, and I will send you another Counselor, he says in John chapter 14. Mighty God, everlasting Father, talking about God the Father, and Prince of Peace, Prince is the Son, talking about Jesus Christ. We have the Holy Spirit, God the Father, and God the Son right here in Isaiah. And finally, lastly, he is reigning. His government, verse 7, is increasing. Listen, those of you who live in Franklin County, who live in St. Albans, who live in Vermont, or who live in regions around here, the government of Jesus Christ is increasing and nothing can stop it. In other words, his light is shining and it will continue to shine and it's growing. And guess how God's going to do it? Well, we don't know fully how he's going to do it, but one way we know how he's going to do it is you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. He's pleased to use us who were once darkness, but brought to light, to shine in a dark place. He is reigning. He's establishing and upholding with justice and righteousness. 1 Corinthians 15 says, for he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. Matthew 28, Jesus says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. This is who you serve. There is no darkness that is too dark for him. There is no deep gloom or anguish that is too much for him. He is reigning now. He is on his throne. Take hope, take heart. Where is the power for all of this? End of verse 7, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. There is a promise. The zeal of the Lord of hosts, his fervor, his love for him, his people, his love for his glory, he will do this. So every day we're reminded of this darkness. Sometimes it's hard to watch the news. There's a lot of gloom, isn't there? There's a lot that we are saddened by. There's anguish. And I was thinking about the Smart family when Elizabeth was taken years ago and how those times when she was taken must have been such dark times. For 9 months, she was gone. And how would that be for me if that was my child taken? But you know what? In her family, there was a child taken into the darkness of that night. But in our covenant family, there's a child given into the darkness of that night. See, it's one thing to be taken, but it's another thing to actually be given. God gave his son into this darkness. Despite the darkness in our hearts, God sent his only son. When we were enemies, he turned his son over into the hands of dark people. He shone his light in our hearts, and so we don't have despair because he sent his son, because he gave us Jesus. A child is born. Now we can hope. Now we don't live in despair. You have received light, you've received hope, you've received life if you believe in him. But it's not enough to just receive it. We also give it. We shine it. We walk as children of light. We put aside deeds of darkness by faith. You know, there's many here in despair. And I will tell you, this is a great place for you to live. Because there's a great time to minister to people right now. You walk out of these doors right here. You go to your homes. There are people in darkness and despair all over the place. There are people that try to take their lives. There are people who are dying of cancer without hope. There are people who are struggling just to meet their everyday needs, and we have the greatest hope that they could ever have. So I ask you this morning, before you can give this hope, do you live in this hope? Do you believe in Jesus Christ, that he has taken your sin, that he has given you his life, and that he is your light in the world? And if you do, do you live it? Do you walk it? Do you shine it by faith in his grace?